Hello, thank you so much for being here. Before we get into this conversation with Tim Schmoyer, one of the top organic YouTube experts in the world, this is an amazing conversation. I know you're going to get a ton of value from it. But before that, I want to let you know about our brand new free video training, Billion View Secrets, which does not only give you an inside look at all of my processes for creating social video, including how to write scripts, how to come up with endless story ideas, and how to actually physically make the videos over my shoulder. There's also an entire module on selling it, how this video can be monetized, how it can actually make you tons of revenue. And I've proven this over and over again, made millions of dollars for clients that we've worked with these strategies and this type of video content. So I'm excited. All you need to do to sign up, totally free, guidesocialglobal.com/free-video-training. That's it. Just head there. I'll put a link in the show notes as well. So without further ado, into my conversation with Tim Schmoyer.
You're listening to the Video Marketing Podcast, helping you go a little more viral every day. Here's your host, Matt Johnston.
Welcome, everybody. I'm so happy to have you here. Another amazing YouTube show today, but I've got one of the top guys in the business. You've probably heard of him. Tim Schmoyer is here. If you don't know Tim, Tim's company, Video Creators, been featured by Fox, Forbes, BBC, and YouTube themselves. His team trains other creators and business leaders to master YouTube, spread messages, and change lives. Their clients have organically grown by over 17 billion views and 71 million subscribers under the guidance of Video Creators. He lives in Cincinnati with his wife and seven children. We just had a nice little chat about having a household and seven children. I'm excited to dig in today with Tim. We're going to talk about really the why nobody's watching your videos on YouTube and they're watching 17-year-olds in their basement in the millions. Why is that? Why is it that you can't get seen no matter what resources and thought and time you put into it? What exactly are you missing? So I'm super excited. Thank you so much, Tim, for being here. I think this is going to be a great conversation for people.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun.
So let's launch into it. You were telling me this great story. I think this is a great leaping off point about this client that you worked with that that invested a lot in it. And then they had an interesting question after a year, right? What was that?
Yeah. So we work with a lot of clients, a lot of brands, a lot of small businesses, YouTube creators. And there's this one brand, I guess, I guess because they kind of hadn't really figured out what they were yet, but they set up a consultation and they're looking at lots of vegan channels on YouTube thinking, you know, we can do this way better. Like, we have the skills, we have the equipment, we have the backgrounds, the knowledge. All of these videos are quote unquote lame. They're not like super high quality. I don't know why anyone would watch these. And so these seven people all vested into this one channel full-time, seven people full-time on one channel, all of them with Hollywood television production backgrounds. They worked really hard for a year, publishing very consistently one video a week. It was produced in 8K Red Epic cameras, like 8K. It's like ridiculous. They were renting out a commercial kitchen that was like looked amazing. They had a paid actress who was actually vegan doing these videos, showing people how to do different vegan recipes. They published one video every week for a year, and after around 50 videos, they scheduled a session with me, and they're like, Tim, we've put hundreds of thousands of dollars into this channel. We have published very consistently. We know we got all the right keywords and the right tags and all the right places, and it all just looks amazing. We're making the best vegan videos on YouTube. But why then does our top video only have 24 views? And jeez, the kicker for them, they're like, but there's this guy in his basement with a webcam getting millions. Our content is way better than his. Like, our videos are great and his are lame. Why is he getting millions of views and our top video only has 24 views. And they're very, very frustrated. As you can imagine, like I would be frustrated. I'd be upset. You're like, what?
Sure.
Like, as far as I know, I'm doing everything right. This would be gold on television, but it's not working in social. What's wrong? And so the process that we went through with them is one I'll maybe introduce you guys here to. Well, maybe not maybe, definitely. I'll introduce you guys here to today. But yeah, that's unfortunately a common story for people. Like, I'm making good videos, quote, good. Like, good is very subjective, right? But I'm making good videos. Why is no one seeing this? Why is this not working? So maybe that's what we'll dive into here today.
That's awesome. Tell us really quick, Tim, about just a little bit about your story, how you got into the YouTube world.
Yeah, I started, my very first video was March 2nd, 2006. So it was like 14 years ago now. I was in graduate school halfway across the country from my family. They were back home in Philly and I was in Dallas. And I wanted a way of introducing my girlfriend at the time to my family back home. And so I had actually behind me, 8mm video camera. Remember the ones that use like magnetic tape? Remember those days?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got this little camera out and just started making little videos of us going out on dates, going out to the movies, going out to eat, going to the park, like whatever. And I used this technology. Sounded way cooler than it actually was, called FireWire. Remember that? Like, get the footage off of the
it was like the precursor to USB, right? But it was really fast, right? Yeah.
Well, I had to play the video back in real time in order to, it was like transferring from a VHS to another VHS basically, except with no high speed dubbing. So I figured it out. I started publishing these videos and then sending the links to my friends and family back home. And this weird thing started happening where other people started watching them. And that freaked me out a little bit, because remember back in like MySpace days, you don't use your real name on the internet. If anyone knows who you are, they'll hunt you down and kill you for some reason. And so I was getting really concerned of like who is CatLicker72? And why do they keep commenting on my videos? Where, how do they find me? Why do they keep coming back? And so I started reaching out to other people. I'm like, how does this YouTube thing work? And they're like, we don't know, Tim, but if you figure it out, let us know, because we're trying to figure it out too. So I like a good challenge. I start diving in and started trying to figure out how YouTube works. And at the time I was a full-time youth and family worker. And I loved that job because I love seeing life change happen in people's lives. But ended up marrying the girl. Spoiler alert, we had 7 kids. But we were, at that time, after we got married, we were reaching around 1 million people a month on YouTube, which back in 2009 is like, that was like huge. Like, that was all crazy. So people asking, how are we doing it? I was figuring it out, cracking the code. And I figured if I could change the students I was working with, you know, if I could impact 180 kids' lives there, that was great. But on YouTube, we were literally reaching millions. I'm like, I could reach and impact so many more people's lives by doing the YouTube thing. And I was like, I could help a lot more people reach people and change lives if I could help other people spread messages and stories that I don't have. So we started Video Creators 2013, 7 years ago now. And since then, we have worked with, we've done 3 strategy gigs with Disney. I did the Batman release for Warner Brothers, eBay, Budweiser, HBO. I don't know, I'm drawing a blank. MTV, Amazon, Microsoft, YouTube, just all these brands, all the way down to creators who are just getting started and trying to figure out, how do I grow? How do I reach more people, grow my business, make more money, and ultimately change more lives with the message that I'm spreading? So that's how I got started. Here we are.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I love that. And when we were talking before this, you told me what I've heard from a lot of people recently, which is that the keyword growth game is garbage. And love that. Excited to dive into it more. And let's start here. This company that was only getting 24 views on their video, which is super normal in the YouTube world, by the way, like, you could very easily just have crickets. You can be producing stuff and have crickets. So I'm guessing that you would say that there are a number of things that they should have done when they started that they didn't do. So what would those things be? What are these fundamentals that we need to have at the beginning.
Yeah. Maybe let's start a little precursor to that and say,
sure.
When we think about a good video, because I think everything, all the steps will make more sense after we've kind of think. We think a good mm-hmm. video is one that has like higher production value, that is well edited, maybe fancy motion graphics and stuff like that. And I'm curious, as you watch YouTube, Matt, what would you say based on like what attracts your attention to a piece of content that you're like, ooh, that's a good video versus this other one, which might be really polished but just doesn't feel good. What's like for you? What's the difference?
For me, it's something that I identify with, like that I really want to see. Like, for example, some of the things that I watch on YouTube often are like, I still at 38 years old, I still am like I play my Nintendo Switch like crazy. And I love I play PS4 and stuff. And so I love like video game content. I don't like watch Twitch or anything, but I do. But I have like, you know, I love that. And so when I get like a great list or something or a review and one that is packed with value, it's like, oh, you answered all the questions that I potentially had about this topic. So when I click the headline, I feel like got what I'm looking for. That for me is what resonates with me as like a good YouTube experience.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. And then there's this underlying thing that a lot of people don't identify, which is that it's also like, I got what I clicked for. I got the value I wanted, but I also like feel something like, oh, I feel satisfied, or I feel like this helped me, or I feel like I like this person, this creator. I feel like I could be friends with, or I share this common belief with them. So a good video isn't just one that shares cold, hard, dirty facts. That's what's happening in this vegan channel, is it was purely 100% how to assemble food ingredients. There is no personality in it. There is no, like, you can get a vegan recipe anywhere. But if you had to pick between a video that was like, here's just step by step, just do this, 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 that, and they're done, and that's it, versus like, man, guys, I just really want to get rid of this muscle soreness that I have, and there's this great recipe that's really going to help me get rid of this. Like, let me just, and you're getting into the story. You're like, oh, I have that muscle thing too. And they're like, guys, you know, we are not. And they start sharing what they believe about why veganism matters and things. You're going to have a much more emotional connection to that person, even if it's not well produced. You're going to feel something. So a good content isn't just cold, hard, dirty facts. Get to the point. End it. It's over. There is a place for that, by the way. I'm not saying that type of content's wrong or anything. But when you're trying to grow a community around content on YouTube, they need to come back. They're coming back for a feeling, whether it's gratification or something. So good content makes people feel something. And as you know, Matt, probably better than most of us, maybe even myself, is like one of the best ways to do that is with a good story. There's someone who expresses some sort of desire, and there's obstacles, and there's transformation at the end. Whether that's like cooking, like, guys, hey, I have this desire. I want this muscle ache to go away. There's obstacles. I don't know how to get it, but someone told me this recipe could do it. Let's find out. Oh, I don't have this ingredient. Got to get it. I've never cooked this before. And then it gets to the end. Transformation. Yes, there's food, but bigger transformation is now this thing went away. It solved this problem for me. It wasn't really just about how to assemble these ingredients together, right? So that makes sense, kind of what I'm saying there before I dive into the
scripts. And I think a lot of people struggle with, I'd love to hear your point, I'd love to for you to dive a little bit deeper into this about like, a lot of people are on YouTube, for example, like I work with a lot of personal brands and everything, and they might be trying to build YouTube channels and they're out there giving value, right? Like, here is a piece of value, whatever it is. How do you turn that into a story? Because they might just say, how is this a story? Like, I'm just sort of giving advice. So, I mean, how do you storify that?
Yeah.
So, is that a word? If it's not a word, I love it.
I like it. Yeah. There's a couple of different ways to do it. And there's not one formula here. But the principles hold true regardless of it's entertainment or education on YouTube. So if it's more on the education side, one way to think about it is to remember that your viewer is a character who has desire, obstacles that they're facing, and they need the guide to come along, you, your content now, to come and help them move past the roadblocks that they're facing so they can experience the transformation they want to experience in their story. Okay. So you need to understand your target audience on a really deep level, not just in terms of general, like 25 to 45 year old, 50% male. I don't mean, you know what I mean by that. Like there's half the audience is male, half the audience is female. They've got, I don't know, like this is like demographic. It says, I want to know their story. What are they feeling? What's their desire? What are the roadblocks that they're feeling? It's just kind of comes back to marketing 101 sales stuff, right? And It's like, how do you then craft content that helps them with that story? So for example, we work with one guy, he's an artist. He does really, his specialty is drawing faces, like human faces, which is apparently a really hard thing to do. And so he has all these tutorial videos on how to draw faces, doing okay, like 10,000, 20,000 views per video. And he just couldn't break out of it. And I'm like, okay, dude, you got to make people feel something. You got to set up a story. This isn't just about the techniques of how you draw and the angle of the pencil and things like that. This is like, how do we make someone feel something? So all he started doing was, after he understood his audience's story and the roadblocks that they're facing and the transformation they want to experience, he just simply opened up his next video with just like a 2-sentence story. And it was basically, I'm not going to quote it word for word, but it was basically the idea of, my wife told me she just can't draw faces. Perhaps you feel the same way. So I took my wife and another person, we sat down and we did, and then the rest of it is the tutorial. Now It like sets you up to be like, oh, could she actually do it? So it's like a little bit before, like here's how she's drawing drawing a face before, and now she's drawing a face after this, like this little teaching, and you can see the transformation literally happen in his wife. And then that's the transformation that the viewer also wants to experience. So he just added that, like, let me tell the character, the viewer's story by telling their story through my wife. And that video very quickly went to 800,000 views and kept growing to 1 million. Right. And so he's like, oh, okay. Like make people feel something, make them feel like they're in the right spot. Tell the transformation story. So that's one way to do it. Another way to, and I don't want to take up too much time with this because then we want to get into other stuff, but another way to do it is to, one, to tell your audience a story. Two is then set up that, set up the video to tap into that story so they feel like, oh, this is for me. This is the pain, the struggle, the transformation I want to have. Another way to do it is similar, but you just simply integrate your story into it because you are a character who wants something, and often your story that got you to the point where you figured out how to overcome this thing that leads you to be now the teacher you are. You have a story that the target audience can now identify with. You're like, guys, I remember, like, video creators. I was an entrepreneur. I remember I lost my job a second time. I had a couple jobs, kept losing them. I'm like, screw this. I'm going to get my own job, and started video creators hustle. I had no money. So I bartered, YouTube consulting for business consulting. And I invested into relationships, and I just devoured business books and all these things. I knew how to grow YouTube channels, but I didn't know how to grow a sustainable business. Mm. And then I built some couple of relationships that got me connected with the big brands. And then I just went 110% into making sure that they got everything and more that they were hoping for. And they were really satisfied. And before long, all these other clients came knocking. So I can tell that story now if I'm going to make a video like how to work with Fortune 100 brands or how to get them to come at your door. It's my story. It's not by a guaranteed way, but I could tell that story instead of step number one, you know, step number two, you just turn your education into a story and it'll hold people's attention much more. So we can talk a lot about that, but is that enough to get started?
Yeah, but that's awesome. I mean, that's something that we don't talk about enough, and it's an epidemic in the world of online coaching, I guess. It's just, how do we give value across all these platforms? Because what you're talking about is not even just a YouTube strategy. I mean, this can work anywhere. No. I mean, I'm like big on TikTok right now. I'm doing all this teaching around TikTok. It's the same thing. How can you create stories on TikTok? Yes, it's 10 seconds, but they still need to be stories. How do you do it? Right?
Yeah.
So interesting. I think that's really important. So don't just come into a YouTube video with a listicle, like come in with a story that provides the value that you might give in some listicle.
Yeah, just don't define value as being content. Value also equals relationship. So it equals human connection. So I'm actually talking with a channel. I have a consultation with them in about a half hour that they grew to 2 million subscribers on a cooking tutorial, 2 million subs. But one of the things he's doing really, really well is like every video opens with desire, something I can't have. I don't know how what the outcome's going to be. You follow along on the journey. And in the process, he's teaching you exactly how to mix the starter and how to the process of doing the dough. But you're learning a lot, but you get to the end, you really kind of want to know like, well, which starter worked better? Like, and can he make something that's better than this famous bread over here? And, you know, so there's always like this tension and so it's really smart. So even it's a cooking tutorial channel, but if it was just about assembling food ingredients, he wouldn't be getting anywhere. But because he's got challenges and like challenging himself to cook better and do different things, now there's tension, there's obstacles, there's goals, and there's transformation. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's, I mean, I feel like maybe the success of Tasty ruined a lot of those food channels, because they're like, oh, we don't have to tell stories. We'll just mix some stuff together, add a slice of food porn, and then throw it on the internet and see what happens.
Well, those don't work well on Facebook, and YouTube's a different.
Right. Yeah. They wouldn't work on YouTube. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So to get started, the first two things I would recommend for you guys is that you have that it's the foundation of business, of marketing. The same thing that gets people to consume your product and buy your services is the same thing that gets people to watch and consume your videos, which is one, they need to feel like this is for me. So who's the target audience here? Like, and I don't mean, like I said, average, like just demographic info. Oh, YouTube analytics says it's this. You need to know their story. Who is this person? Their desire, their roadblocks, their conflicts, even you guys who are listening, like I would venture to guess that it would be easy to just assume that you guys just want to grow businesses, but you actually don't want to grow a business. You actually want to get a promotion at work, or you actually want a pat on the back from your boss, or you actually you're just starting out and your back's against the wall and you need to make this work, because like me, I didn't think I could do it, but my wife was not nervous at all when we had limited savings in the bank and I was just getting started, and I needed to prove to her that her faith in me wasn't mistrusted. So that was like, this cannot fail. There was no plan B. There was no safety net. And so there's always something at stake. And the goal isn't like, let's show you how to grow a business. Like, and that's not, I say that a little sarcastically. I didn't mean it that way, but it came out that way. It's more about like,
I know what you mean. Like,
what's the deeper thing? And so that your audience wants, you really have to understand that, because on YouTube, you got to quickly, you only get a couple seconds to do this. People need to answer two questions. One, do I feel like this is for me? And two, do I care? So target audience, how quickly do you identify that for the person to like, oh, this is for me? And two, how do you get them to care, which is what we'll talk about next. But very, like, if I was going to go to your YouTube channel or watch your content for about 5 seconds, could I answer that first question? I was just looking at the channel art, the sections, the thumbnails, the titles. Oh, wow, this is exactly for me. And then two, do I care? This is going to help me overcome this problem that I have, or this roadblock, or even if it's an entertainment channel, it's like, is this going to help whatever, like the job needs to be done that they want your content to do? It's escape. It's going to help me build a perceived relationship, or it's going to help me enjoy my, like have some humor or something. You can't come out and say subjective stuff like subscribe because we're funny. Everyone's going to be like, I'll be the judge of that, you know, but come up with something a little bit more concrete. And so those two things is like, one, target audience, and two, really defining your value proposition and making it very clear, like the value you propose to deliver, so that that person in like 5 seconds can be like, oh my gosh, this is for me. I need more. Because if, you know, I love the way Donald Miller puts it. He says, if you confuse, you lose. And confusion here isn't like, I have no idea what's going on. Confusion here is just like, I don't get it. And they're gone and not coming back. So your bounce rate will be.
So this is your hook. This is your hook. You start a YouTube video. People need to feel like it's exactly for them and what the value proposition is.
Yeah, we're talking like channel level as like a whole, like subscribe to my channel because I'm.
Oh, you're talking channel level. Gotcha.
Yeah, like brand level. Like this is subscribe to our channel. This is one way to do it. Subscribe to our channel because, and fill in that blank. And it should include two things, the what you're going to do and the why it matters. So the what you're going to do gets like them to understand on a cognitive level, but the why it matters, the people who share that belief with you will become emotionally engaged now at this point. So for me, it's like, I'm going to teach you how to master YouTube so you can spread a message that changes lives. Most people don't believe that with me. Most people are like, I want to master YouTube so I can make more money, or I want to master YouTube so I can feel more popular or whatever. But the people who are like, yes, like I do need to make money and I do need to grow my channel, but my ultimate goal is like more of a mission type of thing, what I'm trying to do. Those are the people we attract as clients and as, as creators, because they share that belief with us. And that's the people those are the people we enjoy working with most. So just include the what and the why in there. And then to your point, yeah, now the next step is every single video has to deliver on that. So anyone who comes to your content is like, I need to watch every video, because every video delivers on this promise that they made to me about the channel. Mm. And that hook usually starts with the title and thumbnail and then the opening hook. So they won't click and watch if the title and thumbnail doesn't get them in first.
Right, so. Right, right. That's super important. People don't in general think about all the other stuff. The channel art, the trailer, the about, I don't know, what kind of playlists you have. I mean, all of these things are the optics when you go to subscribe to somebody, and those are the things they're gonna look at, right? And so
Yeah,
I don't see a whole lot of people putting a ton of effort into this. And usually when we work with new clients, and we don't do a lot of YouTube consulting, but if they're like, will you take a look at my YouTube channel? That's the first thing that I see. It's like, oh, you threw up testimonial videos.
Right. Yeah.
That's basically what I see like 90% of the time.
Yeah. And who are the people who care about those? Only you, your company. That's it. Yeah.
It's a video repository for them, right? They're like, I don't know where else to upload it. I guess I'll put it on my YouTube channel, right? You know, sure. Right. It makes sense. Okay. Yeah. So fundamentals, we let people know exactly who we are and what value we're going to deliver, why we're exactly for them. What else? What else about this? What else about this here is at the base level?
Yeah. So after you've clearly defined a target audience value, you've integrated it into your branding, your channel, and your content, and every video is delivering on this. Now, the next step is like, let's start putting together a video strategy and we think about in terms of like three different buckets. There's like three different categories of content that any solid YouTube strategy should have. You don't need to have all of them necessarily. There are cases where it wouldn't make sense, but in general, for most people, I would start here, which is number one, the first category of content you need are discoverable videos. These are videos that are intended to go out, get a new audience, people who've never heard of you before, and come into your channel. So these are things you can think about them in terms of search, is typically where people go. But search is the smallest traffic source on YouTube in terms of volume. The higher traffic sources are suggested in homepage, because everyone's got to come to the homepage before they make a search or not. And then after they watch a video or two, they're suggested and they start clicking and going through there. So search isn't bad, but I just kind of want to encourage us to think outside of just search when it comes to discovery. So the goal of the discoverable video is, like I said, to get someone who's never heard of you to click and watch. So the title and thumbnail is very important. If the title and thumbnail, like, don't make the video, upload it, and then while it's uploading, start thinking, what should my title and thumbnail be? And then you just slap something on it. And
start really, there, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's your angle. Title
thumbnail before you even hit record, because that title and thumbnail is the start of your video. That's
always thinking headlines, people. That's what I always say. I always think in headlines. Right. Yep.
Well, you did it with me here. Like, you're like, we had a little conversation. We're like, what's the headline going to be? But even before we started recording, that's exactly the way you should do it.
Yep.
So you guys do the same thing with your videos. And what does my target audience really need? What is their desire? What's their problem? Don't think in terms of keywords. Think in terms of the human element. How do I connect with this person? I worked with a pretty big national brand just a few weeks ago. And I don't have permission to tell this story, so I can't say who it was, but they were making videos that are all about keywords. And one of their videos is that they sell some outdoor equipment. And one of their videos was how to cook chicken on this stove. But the terminology was like a pretty technical way of how you cut and slice a chicken. I'm like, would your target audience know that word if they saw it?
Like, that was in their title. That was in their headline.
Yeah, because that was part of the video. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and they were like, no, our target audience probably doesn't even know that word. I'm like, okay, let's take that out. And then, what's the thing this person actually wants? So they probably just want to know like the best way to cook a chicken outside. And then I was like, okay, perfect. So what if instead Like, cause that doesn't mean anything to people, your target audience. So what if instead the thumbnail is just like the way most people, like the two sides of the thumbnail, the left side is like the way most people cook chicken outdoors. And then you're, cause the way they're doing it, it looks very different visually. And then like, so what if you put like a red X over the way they're doing it and a green check mark over the way you're doing it. And then the title, all it said was you're cooking it wrong. Like no keyword right. chicken in there or anything like that. Just, it creates more intrigue. YouTube's algorithms are super smart. They already know what your content is while it's uploaded.
So you would do that in the headline? Like you would not even include the word chicken in the headline? You
nope,
don't even care about that?
The thumbnail will be clear. Nope.
So yeah. Interesting. There are so many like YouTube SEO gurus out there who are just like rolling in there. I don't know what it is. I love it though. I love it.
Yeah, if we had time, I could actually show you how it works. But it's like take you behind the scenes and show you how the algorithm processes this stuff. Have you ever uploaded a video and got a content ID match before it's done uploading?
Uploading?
Yeah, while the video is uploading, the video gets blocked and you're like, oh, because you had some copyrighted clip in it.
When I was like at New York Magazine and stuff, that would happen all the time. Even when I use audio that we owned, they would just like find it. Right.
Yeah. So YouTube knows what's in your video while it's
uploading. They're already
seeing it.
Before
it's done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they know exactly what this is. It's technically a different system for the critics. You want to be like, that's a thumbprint type of system. I'm like, okay, the point is they know and so the reason too many people are lying in their metadata, using misleading metadata, they're saying, well, this keyword has higher search volume and less competition, so my video is not really about this thing, but I'm going to use it anyway.
Chucking a bunch of tags on it. Yeah.
They're like, well, I want to be ranked next to PewDiePie, so I'll put him in it, even though the video has nothing to do with PewDiePie. So YouTube had to learn, like, we can't rely on people's metadata to learn how to surface this. We have to surface content based on viewer signals, and they can scan the video and with a lot of accuracy to see exactly what's happening frame by frame. They can read the street signs behind you. They can figure out what the objects are. They can see what fashion you're wearing, what brand sunglasses you might be wearing in the video, and match that to their archive. They separate the audio tracks of what each person is saying. So the key here is not to try to game that, because it doesn't work. I'll tell you right now that you're taking it the wrong direction. If you're like, oh, I need to put text on screen with my keywords, that doesn't convince it. It's all about viewer signals. How do people respond to this content? So
you know what? This is also a huge relief for a lot of, well, I don't know, just as me, who's been like trying to grow YouTube channels for years. I know how it works. I put, you know, based on advice that I've gotten and other people have gotten over the years, I mean, it feels like a hell of a lot of work. I mean, you're just like tagging and doing all this research and like make sure your description has all this stuff in it. And let's do all this keyword research to make sure the headline is optimized in this way. It's a relief for me to know that I just need to create the right content and worry less about like, how do I SEO-ify the crap out of this video? Because yeah. Uploading a YouTube video for me, I'm just like, oh God. Okay, here we go. Crack my knuckles.
YouTube has said publicly, it even says it right there in their tags box. They say, we don't use these except for to match common misspellings with things this video is about. So people commonly misspell, I don't know, Johnson instead of it, like they've skipped the T or something. Like you can put that in there. But they say like we don't
name,
really
all
look
all
at
the time.
These. Yeah.
Yeah.
So right, put common misspellings in there. But that they even say it right in there. You got to make that box disappear before you can type. But yeah, people are still preaching text. So I don't know. It's. I think it's just easier to blame the algorithm and do the science-y stuff, quote unquote, than it is to like actually take a hard look and be like, is my content good enough yet? Yes or no. And it's a lot easier to blame the algorithm than it is to be like, I'm not there yet.
And again, let's go back. How would you answer that for yourself? So if you ask yourself, is my content good enough? Because it's very hard to be the critique of this in your own work. If you're asking yourself, how is your content good enough? What are the signs you're looking for to know that that's true? Besides like the number of views you have, like if you're just looking at it as a piece of work. If it gives value, obviously.
Yep. Yeah. The Human Connection is, there's a really good book I recommend all the time called Primal Branding by a guy named Patrick Hanlon. He looks at all the top brands that develop cult-like followings. And he's just asked the question, what did each of these brands do that made it easy for people to fall in love with them? And
write that down.
And it's not a social media book. It's musicians, it's actors and actresses. It's electronics like Apple and Steve Jobs. It's like, what did all these people do? And it's a very reproducible system, actually. And it all has to come down like to the way you make me feel and the things, the key things I need to understand about you. And I saw him do a presentation once, Patrick, the author, and he asked all these people in this room, he's like, I need two people to stand up. Two people stood up and he just asked one person, he's like, you, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Where'd you go to school? Just very basic information. The other person, he asked them absolutely nothing. And he just asked the audience, of these two people, which one of them are you more likely to entrust your car keys to? And everyone pointed to the guy, well, at least I know his name, where he's from, what he does to live. So his point was, we really need to know background information about you and why this matters to you and what's at stake for you. And like, we need to know part of your backstory. Like, we know Steve Jobs' backstory, but does anyone know the backstory of Circuit City? Like, no, they're gone if you even remember who they were. Right. So,
I do. But yeah.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm just of that age, right? Like, we used to just go there to buy stuff when I was a kid. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But you don't know, like, what they stand for, what they represent, what
no clue. Matters no clue. They were just like a Best Buy competitor. Yeah, but of course, right. Yep, I knew that about Steve Jobs. Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, I don't want to keep, but so the first category is discoverable, and then go through the other two quick for a amount of time. Second category of content you need is community. These are the videos that are not intended to go big. They're just intended to get people into your content. The goal here, or no, I'm sorry, not into your content. They're intended to get people who are already in your content to grow the know, like, and trust factors. So they came to you from this for discoverable videos. The main call to action there is not subscribe. It's not smash any like buttons or anything. The only call to action is lead into the next video you want them to watch. Point to it on where it's going to be on screen. Pitch it like, now the next thing you really need to know after you figure out, like, let me do the vegan thing again. I'm not vegan, but it's something in my head right now. So. Like, oh guys, I'm so glad that like this ache, this muscle is sore. But if you're having problems with this and this doesn't work, I put together a whole playlist for you guys right here. Click on this on your screen right here to get like some more ideas for how to solve that problem. I'll see you in the next video. Don't use any ending language like goodbye, see you, tell me what you think, comment below. Those are all triggers that are going to send that viewer away. You need to get them into the next video. And then the community videos, they get into that. They start hearing more about your story and what you believe and why this matters and some of the rituals that they start to grow to love and appreciate with your brand. And then that grows into like and trust factors. And the main call to action there is engagement. Let me know what you think. How did you guys solve this problem? Or I'm trying to figure this out. Or I learn from you guys all the time. And like, you guys are so smart. So if you're trying to figure this out too, if you're trying to figure this out, like read the comments down there. You're going to learn way more from these other people than like I always do. Just like really encourage community and interaction. And then the third bucket is sales videos. And this is not a commercial. You're still delivering the value that people want, but the goal is that at the end or somewhere in the middle or something, it leads into a buy, download, sign up, register, whatever type of thing. Click the link below, go to my website, or go to this brand or whatever to do that. And the problem that too many people have when it comes to marketing is they only make this on video. I'm not quite sure why they don't do this anywhere else. But the goal is like every video is to get lots of views, get lots of subscribers, generate lots of sales, get lots of leads, go big on Reddit, rank number one in search, get lots of content. Like they have like 15 goals for one piece of content.
Right.
What I'm saying basically is get one primary goal for each video, whether it's to be discoverable, get them to watch more videos, whether it's two, to be community, grow them to like trust factors, get them to start engaging with you, or three, then capitalize on the traffic that was brought in by discoverable, the community that was built by the community videos, and then getting them off platform. The YouTube's algorithms, their goal is to keep people on YouTube as long as possible. So if you try to make a discoverable video that also gets them to your website, one, it doesn't convert very well because most people don't buy or purchase the first time they just watch a 3-minute YouTube video. So the conversion is going to be low anyway. But two, you're going to be killing that original video because if the video is actually successful in ending the viewing session and getting them to click and go to your website, that video will no longer be discoverable because it's ending the viewing session. So they're like competing. You can't make a discoverable video that also effectively leads traffic to your website. You can get some traffic to your website and have a discoverable, but they're kind of competing. If you didn't have, if you had a different call to action, that video might be at multiple millions instead of just a couple hundreds of views. And if you do the sales,
it's just like any sales funnel in a way.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
If they don't know you, stop asking them to do stuff. Yeah.
You might convert 10% from the sales video as opposed to like a quarter of a percent on the YouTube video, on the discoverable video. So yeah. And so the main call to action of those is to click, go buy, download, register, whatever, go to your website. So those are the three main buckets, three categories.
Does this carry through to the descriptions? I mean, there's a lot of people would be like, listen, you got to have your lead magnet link in like every single description that you have out there on the internet.
No, I'll tell you, and this is a common story of clients we work with. One guy came with us where he had about 80,000 subscribers on YouTube. And he said, Tim, like his channel's in the Bitcoin space, and he had a course on Bitcoin. The goal of every video is publishing 5 videos a week. The goal of every video was to get people to his course to buy his course. And he was making around $20,000 a year or a month selling it. And so he came to us. He's like, I'm just stuck. My channel's not growing. I can't get past 80,000 subscribers. I'm stuck at $20,000 a month. And so we told him, stop selling every video, make out his 5. We told him, do 2 discoverable videos a week, 2 community videos a week, and 1 sales video a week. And he's like, so you're telling me I'm going to go from selling 20 times a week to selling 4 times a week, and I'm supposed to make more money? And we said, yes, do it. So he did it. Thankfully, most people don't believe us and they don't try it. But he did it. And the very next month, his channel grew by 5x. So did his revenue. So he went from 20K a month to 100K a month in course sales by doing this process. Because what was happening before is he was just selling to the same audience over and over again, kind of burned him out. And some people were unsubscribing, some people were subscribing, and he kind of kept selling to the new people who are coming. But for the most part, he was just burned out his audience. The people who were going to buy, and he needed more new leads coming in. So when he started focusing on discoverable, that just kept them on the platform, watching more content, really getting to his brand, and then knowing and liking and trusting him. By the time the sale video came along, they were ready for it, and they wanted to buy from this guy. And so his channel grew 5x in 1 month, and his revenue. So that's a very common story. So we definitely stick to that process and encourage people not to mix those call to actions.
I think that brings up 2 tactic-based questions that always come up, and I know people are asking in their minds, so let's answer them. How often do I actually need to post? How many videos do I actually need to make? Because people are going to be daunted by 5 videos a week. A lot of people are daunted by 1 video a week. And then what's the mix of these 3 buckets, as far as what percentage of your efforts should be spent on these 3 types of videos?
Yeah, posting frequency is pretty flexible. It's, you don't have to do every day. Some people claim that they're like, I did daily and my videos shot up and my channel grew by whatever. And they say the algorithm likes that. I think what's actually happening based on how the algorithm, I know how the algorithm actually works, is that those people are actually just increasing their skills more rapidly. They were learning how to talk to their audience better. They were learning what their audience responds to. Instead of just doing 1 video a week and learning over 50 videos in a year, they were doing like hundreds of videos in a year and learning 3 times faster or 5 times faster than the other person. So it was more like the learning curve is less about the frequency in that case. So it's not uncommon for these 40 million, 50 million subscriber channels to publish once a month. Once every 2 weeks, like one of my favorite channels, Do Perfect, they got 50 million subscribers. They only publish twice a month, but I enable notifications because I know every single video is going to deliver. The value is going to be exactly what I expect it to be. And I don't even care what the title and thumbnail is anymore because I just know it's going to be good. So it's not about frequency. It's more about the quality and the value that people go to expect. So there is you don't want to spend all year making one piece unless you're pretty darn sure it's going to be an epic piece. But I would focus more on the quality than the quantity unless you're first just getting started. I would say focus on quality, but not with the expectation, or quantity, sorry. Focus on quantity, but not with the expectation of growth. focus on quantity with the expectation of I need to learn a lot and get my processes down and figure out how I'm going to best talk to my audience and attract them and what resonates, what doesn't, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so again, those three buckets, because I think that this is the huge takeaway for everybody, and I can't wait to dive into this myself, is discoverable content, and I assume we're coming up with these ideas. Like, is it useful to do some? Well, I'll ask you that question after. We have discoverable content, which is mainly we're just saying watch more of my stuff. I mean, super valuable, and then the CTA is please watch more things. We have the community content, which is what do you guys think? You know, like just helping you out, giving value to your community. And the CTA again is, you know, look in the comments, help us out, but also watch more video, right? And then third is the sales video. And I would assume, like, are you like actually not doing end screens to watch more video on these sales videos? Like, because you only have to take that one action.
The video is usually the sales video for whatever the thing is I want them to go do on the end screen. So it could be the lead magnet I'm promoting, for example. Like, for example, I did a video on sub for sub can get your channel terminated. And again, it's right there in the terms of service, YouTube terms of service, that sub for sub is considered spam and is grounds for channel termination. So I was like, you're trying to grow your channel, but this thing can actually get your channel terminated. Don't do sub for sub. If you want to know the best process for growing your channel, I have a free guide for you called The Secret to Building Your YouTube Audience. You can click right here, and it's my free lead magnet. People can go download that guide for free, videocreators.com, and then they can either like type it in or they can click there. But the end screen is that lead magnet that they can click on. And then I have a video that shows there of that goes in.
There's no way to like put it on screen anymore, right? Because there's those annotations are gone. Are you can now.
Yeah, they have a different feature that you can put like I put a picture of my like the 3D version of my guide right there on the screen and people can click it right on the video and go over. It's called end screen.
Oh, okay.
Elements.
That's great. Yep. Okay, so the one last question because a lot of people are still going to be like what kind of video should I make? And I preach this like all of the things hold true in the stuff that I preach on this podcast all the time. Know your pain points of your avatar, wants, needs and provide value based on those things. So that's kind of your answer. But in the tactical based stuff, when we're not doing a keyword strategy with discoverable and we're focusing on suggested video, I mean, should we do competitor research and try to like, are we trying to land on certain types of videos with our competitors? Like, oh, they made a video about this. Maybe I can make a video that's a spin on this so that I can get like,
Yeah, we recommend doing some recon work, doing some research on like competitors who are might be in a similar space as you, or just like before you shoot a video, just open up YouTube in an incognito window and just search for it and look at the top videos that are showing up. Not that you're trying to rank necessarily and search for it, but just look at what other videos are similar to the content you're thinking about making. And the main things you're looking for are what's the title and the thumbnail. And what are the common elements here? Maybe it's an intrigue factor. Maybe you're like, oh, they all are showing shock surprise faces, or they're all just no faces, just close up of food. Like, what are the common elements in the thumbnails that are working and the titles and then the opening 15 seconds of the video? Like, what gets that person to keep watching? You also want to look for videos that have high views on channels with relatively low subscribers. So if you see a video that has 1.5 million views and then you see the channel has 10 million subs, you're like, okay, I get it. But if there's 1.5 million views on a channel with like 30,000 subscribers, now you know that this video has the potential to break outside its audience and reach more people. And so that would be a better video to look at than a different one. So
but yeah, it's not more, about it's hijacking their keywords. It's about just jumping. It's just hitching on to their wagon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like what worked best for them? What can I reproduce and learn from before I invest this time and energy into making this?
Because it just tells you what user behavior is. And at the end of the day, you're making content for users. So you should know what they give a crap about. It makes a ton of sense. And one thing we didn't touch on today, but you and I talked about before we got on the air here today, was just that don't get too caught up in what it looks like because it's more about the story. You know, don't be intimidated by the production quality of these things. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Story value.
I think that's a huge thing for people because it stops. It's a limiting belief that stops people from trying.
Well, they think it needs to be like TV, but this is not TV. You've heard of Jillian Michaels from The Biggest Loser?
Oh, of course.
So I went out to Universal Studios to work with her for a little bit because YouTube has paid her to do this this series on YouTube, and she couldn't break 2,500 views on YouTube, and 4 million people instantly on TV, and so I'm sitting there on set watching her. And I'm like, yeah, she's talking to this camera all wrong, and it was another topic of how you do that. But the point is, this is not television, and stuff that's made for TV doesn't typically work well on YouTube, and vice versa. So don't copy TV. But most people watch more TV than they watch YouTube, so that's all they know. I would encourage you to instead flip it and force yourself to watch more YouTube than TV for a couple weeks. And I think it's going to have a huge impact on how you create content.
I love that example. That's such a great example. One of the things I do when I work with personal brands is I ask them, who are you to your avatar? Are you the best friend? Are you the guide? Are you like the expert? Are you the parent? Who are you, right? And I feel like Jillian Michaels probably in that moment was acting more like the guide and the expert, and she wasn't connecting empathetically with people. On YouTube, it's a little bit more of a best friend situation, right? It's just
often,
hey,
yeah.
It's like right here.
It's like, hey guys, I had an awesome day. You need to know all about it coming up right after this. Versus like, hey guys, how you doing? So good to see you again. Man, I had an awesome day. I can't wait to tell you. How are you guys doing, man? Sarah commented yesterday and said this. Thank you so much, Sarah. I just love that. And
it's less voyeuristic at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's more like we're hanging out rather than it's conversation versus presentation is how I think.
Oh, it's huge. That's huge. All right, Tim, thank you so much. This was awesome value. Where can we find out more about you?
You guys could simply go to videocreators.com, get that free guide if you'd like. It's there for anybody who wants it. Or we got new videos going up every Thursday. YouTube.com/videocreators and new podcast episodes where we go a little bit deeper every Tuesday. Just search for Video Creators in iTunes and find us there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Tim. And thank you all so much for listening. There's a ton of value here. I hope you guys are starting to figure out that there is more to YouTube strategy than a lot of what you might read when you Google it. And so that is hopefully the value that I'm giving you here today. Thank you so much for being here.